always love it when you clap before because you won't clap after. And so that, no. Hey, it's so great to be with you and to be here in this brand new building. I was just thinking about you this morning. I was sitting outside. It was so cool and just kind of enjoying the moment. And I heard this little sound come beside me about 3 feet up. I looked up, and there was a squirrel, and it was looking at me, and I'm looking at it. And my first thought was something like this. Are you going to be at First Baptist Tomball today? Because you may not know this, but one of the times that I preached in your old building, the air conditioners had gone down, the doors were open, and a squirrel ran into the sanctuary in the middle of the service. And you can see people just kind of getting up as they went, you know, as that squirrel's making its travel. And I remember saying something like this, don't worry, it's a squirrel. They know in a Baptist church they can always find a nut. And so I'm just grateful to get to be here and to see that so far it looks like you have squirrel-proofed the building. And, you know, it's great to see what is happening because as somebody that has planted churches and has pastored churches, I've had to build buildings, I've had to renovate buildings. And whenever you get to go into a new space like this, there's always this little bit of tension about is somebody going to get the seat that I prefer? And some of you have already kind of staked out your position. And it's like, okay, that's my spot. Some of you have already looked at the parking lot and say, if I park right there, there's shade. Now, there's good shade. Not the shade right under the tree because the bird will find me, but it's the shade beside the tree, and I'll be okay. I mean, I know you're strategic. But the thing about a building is you walk into it, you look around, and it's nice, and it looks great, and it's a wonderful thing. But one of the churches that we had finished major renovation, I could tell everybody was kind of walking around the hallway, and it was almost like they had sucked in their arms because they were afraid to rub a wall. And I could see there was a couple of people that were more mature. They were watching children running, and I could tell they were getting a little bit tight. So in the sermon, I took off my shoe, walked over to a wall, and banged it. I said, there, it now has a mark on it. Let's start being the church. Because this is a place to be used. This is a place for the family of God to gather, not as a marker or mausoleum or as a memorial, but as a gathering spot so that you can go out from here and impact this community for the name of Jesus Christ. So that this world is impacted because of the ministry of First Baptist Tomball. And we don't know who may be sitting on this front row right now. They may find their way to a mission field or find their way to across the street and can make a difference in other people's lives. So this is a church whose past and its best future is when we get outside of the walls and do the work that God has called us to do. Now, I will tell you, I talked to your pastor yesterday, and James and I were talking about today, and he had asked me to talk with you about 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and that's where we're going to be. And he told me, he said, Roger, I'm kind of thinking of slipping into church. And I've been looking around to make sure that he didn't, because he told me this. He said, my doctor said it'd be okay as long as nobody hugged me. I said, brother, you're in the wrong church. You're going to get assaulted. So you want to be careful about that. But he asked me to talk to you about what it means to build your life on the foundation of Jesus Christ to make a difference into this community. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But let me read to you just a little bit out of chapter 1 first. And I want to remind you that the Corinthian church was started by Paul in the second missionary journey. It was a miraculous start. It was there that he met Aquila and Priscilla. They were tent makers. He was a tent maker. God blessed that work. God did many great things there. But Corinth was a city center. It was a nexus point for transportation and for goods to come and go. It was a critical place. It was a very urban place. And it was a place where there was a great diversity in viewpoints and diversity in philosophy and certainly a diversity of worship styles. And part of their worship style would be something that maybe today you and I would look at each other and say, that is sexually immoral. They would say, no, it's an expression. And in the early church there in Corinth, they ran through some trouble. They had some divisions. They had some doctrinal questions, as well as there was just immorality upon part of some of them in the church. Because here's what you got to know about people that come to Jesus. They don't come perfect, do they? When we come to Jesus, we come just like we are. We don't come perfect. We come in need of a Savior. And when we accept Christ in our heart, as we begin to live our life for Him and grow in our understanding of Him, our behavior, our choices, all of that begins to be changed. But if you're looking for perfect, you're not going to find it in this preacher. You're not going to find it in this congregation. We serve the perfect one. All the rest of us, we're getting perfected in Him. And so if this is your first time to come to this church, this is the first time you walked in these walls, you come next week, you hear James Clark, you'll come back. But I will tell you that you have met a group of people that will accept you right where you are and will walk with you as you grow in Christ. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 1:10, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it's been reported to me by Chloe's people that there was quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says something like this: I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And we see that focus continue in 1 Corinthians 3:5, where he says, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed is the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. And he says to them, some of you have been caught up in following personalities instead of following Jesus. Now, I noticed that he said, well, some say I follow Paul. Some said, no, I follow Peter. Others said, no, I follow Paul. But if you could read into the language, you would hear that somebody saying something like this: I follow Jesus. I'm special. And Paul was looking at him and said, listen, let's get this figured out. Don't follow us. You follow Christ. Not from a snide heart, but from a humble heart. You follow him with your whole heart. You follow him and love him, and you love his people because he has called us to understand it's not about this person or that person. It's about knowing him. And you know, some of us, we got to be careful because we do the same thing today. Some of us got up this morning and we turned somebody on the television or we listened to a podcast or radio, and some of us have been listening to dead people. Charles Stanley's not alive anymore, but he has a huge viewing audience. Chuck Swindoll is no longer with us. There's all kinds of voices of people in the past that you can listen to. I want you to know it's great that there's people that can encourage us, that can mentor us, that can give us an understanding, but ultimately, my loyalty, my focus, my heart has to be with what Jesus is and says. And I discern everything by what the Word of God says, not what someone else says. They can help me see truth. I'm responsible to know the truth and to grow in this truth. I'm to yield to Christ and Christ alone. And he says, now listen, here's the context. There's different roles. There's some people that plant. There's some people that water. There's some people that do other parts of this. But the only one in verse 7, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. And the simple reality is this. We all play a part, but it is God who transforms. It is knowing Christ that brings change in somebody's heart. And see, that gives me hope because sometimes I'm walking along and I'm praying for somebody, for them to come to know Jesus. I'm wanting to see a life change in them. I'm trying to
this is going to be fun.
No. Okay. No. This is going to now take twice as long. I'm kidding. It's just going to feel like it. Okay, so here's the thing. What ends up happening is that if I'm not careful, I think that I bear the weight for somebody. Can y'all help me with something? If you see me dropping this, could you look at me and go, okay. It would really help because I'm telling you, the more I talk, the more I can see this happening. Okay, but see, what happens is I get to be part of the chain that brings somebody to Jesus. See, sometimes I think that if I'm not careful, that unless I see somebody make a faith commitment to Christ, that somehow I have failed God. But here's what you need to know. What God wants to know, will you be obedient to love the people where they are so that through your life they can see me? Because if they can see Jesus in you, there'll be a day they can come to Jesus. And one of the things you're going to experience when you get to heaven one day is they're going to say, I thought I lost this one too. I really think I'm supposed to preach this. You're going to meet somebody that's going to say something like this. I watched you at the hallway in school for a year, and I decided you're real. And because of that, I said yes to Jesus. You never know how God uses your faithful testimony in so many ways. He wants to use your life. So, he also wanted them to be sure that they understood that as God works in our life, he wants us also to understand what we are to do with our life. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 and 13, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and then someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. And so he gives us this very compelling illustration. He says, listen, what's going to happen is you're going to be building your life upon a foundation. And the only foundation that you can build your life on that's eternal is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason why he uses this imagery is found also in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, 19, where it says, see then that you are no longer strangers and aliens, but are a fellow citizen with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Now, in almost every new building or significant building that's built, there's a cornerstone. But many times, that cornerstone is just decorative. It says, when the building was built, who was the chair of the committee or the chairwoman of the committee or the name of the church at that time or that building. Or maybe they put a time capsule in it so 100 years later, people can open it and say, oh, that's the way people dressed or, oh, that's the way people thought. But in ancient times, and frankly, even to the last 150 years, the way you would build a building is you would have a cornerstone, and that cornerstone was chiseled very carefully so that it would be square. What that means is that you could take it, you could put a triangle on it, it would hit all three points. It means that you could take and you could measure against it, and no matter how far you went out on that plane and the axis of it, it would stay true. That way the doors closed.
Six? Five. Let's hope.
Okay, we're going to work together. Okay, so, as somebody that used to build buildings, I will tell you that you get a building out of square, things don't go well. And all of a sudden, what should have been great and beautiful is not what it needs to be. And so we are told that we had the ability, the opportunity to build our life on the one true, straight, never failing Lord Jesus Christ. We get to be on a firm foundation. And he says you can build on that with eternal things like things like he describes as gold, silver, precious stones, or temporal things like wood, hay, and stubble. What he's saying is there's choices I can make. There's ways that I can live my life. There's things that I can be part of that don't matter. They're just going to go away. It's a waste. But there's other choices I can make, other decisions that I can focus on, other ways to live my life that will be eternal before God. And God will use it in a great and mighty way. You know, Jesus, when he was leaving this earth and speaking out to his apostles and those disciples that had gathered, he gave them final words for a reason. He wanted them to listen clear. He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And he made it so clear. He said, this is what you're to do. You go live for me. You do that by teaching people what I taught you, by showing people how to come to know me, by baptizing them, helping them be disciples. You go out from here. And literally the phrasing is, as you go, as you live your life, bring life to those you live around. Thank you. This little light of mine. Okay. You helped. I noticed it took three of you to get my attention. Okay. If you see the whole front row doing this, you know I'm drifting. Okay. Thank you. We are called to be missional in our lifestyle. This is what you need to understand. God isn't asking you to go on a mission trip. He's asking you to live missionally in the world that you have been left in. Now, it can include a mission trip. It includes one of these great ministries that you've heard about that this church is partners with. But I will tell you, it's not just about going to serve or to volunteer. It's about making sure that the neighbor next to me knows my life's different because I know Jesus. It's making sure that the people that I work with or go to school with know that my lifestyle, my choices, who I am, has been impacted and is being shaped by the eternal nature of God's life in me through Jesus Christ. I just want to ask you, your dry cleaner, the person that checks you out at the grocery store, would they be surprised that you're a Christian? Or would they go, I thought something was different about you. I thought that you must know Jesus. We are called to that life. We need to embrace that challenge to live in a way that is missional. You see, there's opportunities all around us. The question is, will I take them? We need to see the world the way Jesus does. Remember what he said to the disciples when they returned to that Samaritan well in John chapter 4. They're coming back to the well with food that they were sent to get to be able to feed. They see a Samaritan woman pass them. And they go to Jesus, and they're trying to figure out why he was talking to her, but then not just that. He's saying now he doesn't want anything to eat, and they're saying, who fed you? Who brought you something? And Jesus said, I have food to eat that you don't know about. And he said this in John 4:34. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes, see that the fields are white for harvest. And he looked at those disciples. He said, let me tell you something, boys. On the calendar, it says we're 4 months away from harvest. But I want you to see the world the way I see it. I sent you to that town and all you brought back was bread. You didn't tell anybody who was at the well. Look up. And the Bible says, as he's saying this, that they look up, and the whole town is coming out to see him because a woman said, come meet a man who told me everything I'd ever done. If I'm not careful, I walk through life not seeing things like Jesus sees them, not seeing people the way he sees them, not seeing the moment I'm in, like he sees them. It's so easy to hurry past people. But God asks us to build a heart that's sensitive, that can listen to him, hear him, follow him, so that what we build our lives upon, what we build on that foundation, is eternal and not just burned away. We build our lives one choice at a time. You see, the book of James says, be doers of the word, not just hearers. Be doers. And there is no such thing as a retirement program with the Lord except for crossing over. There's no such thing as I no longer do this or I'm no longer part of that. Everybody has a role to play in God's kingdom. Everybody, no matter who you are. Here's something you need to know about the enemy. He is more than happy for your Christian walk just to involve getting up on a Sunday, coming to church, learning about the Bible, maybe even memorizing stuff, as long as it doesn't change the way you live. As long as it doesn't impact the neighbor that lives next door to you, or a friend at school, or someone that's been excluded that you befriend. Because I will tell you, as soon as you get out of these walls, as soon as you make the choice to live eternally, as long as you will keep saying, Lord Jesus, use my life today. I yield myself to you. I will walk where you want me to walk. I will talk to you. Tell me to talk to. I want to do what you have called me to do. When you start living like that, the enemy knows that the gates of hell are in trouble. Because one of God's kids is living like they are God's kids. God wants us outside of these walls. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 3:14, if the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. You know, that's one of the most sobering passages I ever have read in the Bible. To think about the fact that there will be a day that we all give an account for the work that we have done. We all give an account for the life that we live. We all give an account for the choices that we have made. And the Bible describes it as that moment in which it has gone through the testing fire, and only that which is eternal, only that which matters to God is left. That's the reason why the Bible says some are saved as if by fire. You see, the security of the believer is not a security that's based upon the work of the believer. It's based upon the finished work of what Jesus did for us on the cross. But God calls you and I to live a life in such a way that what we have given our life to, what we have committed to, that when the fire of discernment falls upon it, what we built is still there. We make that choice to build that life. One step at a time, one choice at a time. And as a church, I celebrate with you the moment that you're in. But I pray for what happens when you step out that door. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for this church family. I thank you for the work that you have done to bring them to this place. I pray, Father God, that you would bless them and that you would encourage them and that you would fulfill your intentions for them. I pray, God, your blessing upon this moment as choices are made to say yes to you, whatever that next step is. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, as they're coming forward, as we're going to be singing together, and there's going to be some folks here available to pray to you, pray with you, I want to ask you a couple of questions just to ponder. First is, have you come to that place where you have asked Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior? Because the Bible says that he loves you and he wants to know you that way. And if you have questions about that or you're ready to make that choice, we would love to talk to you. But maybe you are a Christ follower and you've realized, hey, I have found my church home and I want to be part of this family. You're welcome to do that too. But see, I wonder if there might not be a few of us that are saying, I think I've been putting my hand to things that are more wood, hay, and stubble. But I want to live in a way that's gold, silver, and precious jewels. I'd like somebody to pray with me about that choice. Pray with me about what my next steps would be. And I want you to know there's folks here that would love to pray about that with you as well. Thank you so much for this opportunity to be with you. Let's stand together and prayerfully respond to what the Lord has to say.